It is because even Christians do not fully understand the cross that we still live for ourselves.
Dr. Tony Evans says salvation should turn our eyes in a whole new direction.
So if you want to bear more fruit, you must become a servant of Christ, which means sacrificing yourself.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Serving Christ isn't just something we were commanded to do, it's something we were created to do. Today, Dr. Evans will talk about some specific ways we live out that God-given purpose. Let's join him.
Many times we talk about serving the Lord, and the question is, are we really serving Him as He is requested to be served? All of us knows that you can do things haphazardly, you can do things sloppily, you can do things mediocrely, you can do things in a way that does not honor the person for whom you're doing them. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about this relationship with Christ, where He calls on us to serve Him. We are His servants. When He saved us, He saved us to serve Him. The Bible is clear that we serve the Lord Christ. Of course, that's simply what He did. He came and became a servant, a slave, if you will, in order that He might serve us in our need for salvation. I want to talk about seven brief things related to serving Christ. The first thing is that we must serve Christ sacrificially. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to John chapter 12, St. John chapter 12. John has as his purpose identifying Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world. Jesus Christ has spent quite a bit of time educating his disciples. And then in verse 23, in preparation for the cross, Jesus says in John 12, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. If anyone," here it is, "serves me, then let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus Christ picks up an illustration from agriculture to explain what he means by this attitude of sacrificial service. That if you too want to be productive, if you too want to be fruitful, is his word, then you must serve me by following me. You must do what I'm doing. What is he doing? He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. He's getting ready to give up his life. And his statement is, only when you die do you live. And if you try to live, you will die. It is a paradox. What does he mean? Are we to go out here and create a martyr's complex and seek physical death? No. He is describing the issue of sacrifice, because that's what the cross was, him sacrificing his life. He uses his sacrifice, which is what God had called him to do. God has his calling on each of our lives, and it's going to vary both in our physical life as well as spiritual life. We have various callings, but the principle, the paradox is clear. Death brings forth life. It's true in nature. It was true of Christ. It's true of you and me. That if there is no death, there will be no life. Or to put it another way, if you're trying to live, you probably aren't finding the thing you're trying to do. Let me say that again. If you are trying to live, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of money looking for what they can't find. Life. That is meaningful existence. The Bible talks about life as eternal life. Now, when you hear that, you may think heaven. But when the Bible talks about eternal life, it does not just mean heaven. Eternal life has to do in the Bible with a quality of existence. The quality of existence whereby you have purpose and you bear fruit. What is fruit? Well, if you remember, I've defined it on a number of occasions, but let me do it again. In the Bible, fruit consists of three things. One, fruit always bears the character of the tree of which it is a part. If you're an apple tree, it bears apples. Orange tree bears oranges. Pear tree bears pears. You won't find pears on an apple tree. The fruit always reflects the character of the tree of which it is a part. So to bear fruit means that Christ's character becomes your own. Secondly, fruit is always visible. Anybody ever seen any invisible fruit? No, if it was invisible, you wouldn't see it. So fruit is always visible. So there is a visible transformation occurring in your life when you begin to bear fruit. Thirdly, fruit always is eaten by another. When is the last time you've seen fruit eating itself? Fruit is always eaten by another. It is beneficial to others. So if you begin to bear fruit in your life, other people want to take a bite out of you. Other people want to follow you. Other people want to emulate you. Other people want to be like you because of this transformation they're seeing. But you cannot have this transformation without death. You say, but wait a minute, then how am I supposed to die? Well, simply stated, you and I are to let the death of Christ become the pattern for how we live our own lives. Let me show you what I mean in one of my favorite passages, probably my most favorite passage. Turn there, Galatians 2:20. And I know many of you can quote it, but I want you just to turn there because I want you to see the movement of his thinking here on what it means to die. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. So he's talking about what? Death. Jesus is on his way to the cross in John 12. Paul, sometime after Jesus Christ had died, said, I too have died. In what way did Paul die, since he's very much alive when he's writing this? Well, he didn't die physically. He died by virtue of his identity. He died to himself. You see, to die is to give up your rights for Christ's right. To give up your identity in his identity. To die means that your plans, your goals, your desires, your dreams are subjected to his goals, his desires, and his dreams. To die means that he becomes paramount in your life, or as John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Outside of Christ, we live for me, myself, and I. Outside of Christ, we live for ourselves. When you become a servant of Jesus Christ, his desire for you, his call on your life, or even as Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done, becomes your prayer. So it is dying to self. I am crucified with Christ. I have died to self. Nevertheless, I live, he says. So he's not physically dead. He's physically alive. His physical life is no longer being lived unto him. It's being lived unto another, namely Christ. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, I am giving Christ the freedom to live out his life through me. These hands become his hands. These feet become his feet. This mind becomes his mind. In other words, I make myself available for him to do his thing in me, his life in me. I sacrifice my will to his will. So it is Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, my everyday walking and talking and moving and thinking, the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, this is a faith walk now, because I don't know where Christ is going to lead me. I don't know which direction he's going to take me in. But I have entrusted myself, and this is the faith part, that he knows where he's going. He wants me to be the vehicle for him to get there. And I'm going to trust him to take me where I ought to be. Now, the question that we face in serving Christ is, do we trust him enough for him to do his thing in us? Now, many of us have had bad experience in trusting people, haven't we? And we trusted them to go right, and they took us left. Okay? Well, no such problem with Jesus, because he only takes you where you ought to go. He doesn't just make up stuff. He takes you toward your calling. And so it is a faith walk every day to say, Lord Jesus, this hand, this mind, this body, I deliver to you. I die to me. I conform myself to you. I do what you did. You went to Calvary. I join you on the cross in the sense of dying to self. So then he ends the verse by saying, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself for me. Please notice, it was his understanding of the cross that was his motivation to die to himself. It is because even Christians do not fully understand the cross that we still live for ourselves. Jesus Christ died that he might take us in a whole new direction, that we might walk, according to the book of Romans, in the newness of life. But you can only do that if you decide to die. And guess what the scripture says? You must die daily. This isn't a one-time death. This is every day you get up, and this is probably, even if you're in a rush to go out and begin your day, this is the one prayer that you and I should make time to pray every day, and that is, Lord, all my faculties I deliver to you for you to live your life in me. There it is. You just died when you said that. Because what you just said was, you have the right to take over and to run the affairs of my life, and I'm going to trust you with me. I'm going to trust you with me. It is an attitude of death, that is, identifying with his death for you so that you die for him, so that he lives out his resurrected life spiritually through you. So that I become the visible demonstration of Jesus Christ to the world. He says that that is a sacrifice because he says, you must follow me. Follow me where? To the cross, which is where? It's like a seed going into the ground. It is death. Oh, but when it dies, what fruit does it produce? So if you want to bear more fruit, you must become a servant of Christ, which means sacrificing yourself.
But there's an amazing upside to that sacrifice, and Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us about it. First, though, I want to make sure you don't miss your chance to benefit from Tony's valuable book, Experiencing Israel. This brand new resource chronicles one of his recent tours to the Holy Land and lets you relive the whole experience through stunning pictures, insightful commentary, and real-life applications. It's like taking the trip of a lifetime without ever leaving home. You'll learn about the history, geography, culture, and people of Israel as you see the sights Jesus saw when he walked on earth. You'll not only feel closer to the Lord, you'll get a whole new perspective on what you read in his word. Request a copy of Experiencing Israel right away, and we'll send it to you as our gift in appreciation for your contribution toward Tony's ministry. As a bonus, we'll include all 7 messages in his brand new teaching series, Pursuing Christ, making this the perfect package to help you deepen your devotion to the Lord. For a few more days, both of these powerful resources are yours as our thank you gift when you make a donation in support of Tony's ministry. The Alternative is a completely listener-supported broadcast, so your faithfulness is the only way we can keep bringing it to you each day. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
Pastors, every week you lead, you inspire, you comfort, and guide many. But how are you re-energized to keep that up week after week? You are invited to an exclusive event for you and your wife. Spend time connecting with Dr. Tony Evans as he shares from over 40 years of ministry experience. Enjoy panel discussions. And wives, there's a session just for you. Recharge at the Kingdom Agenda Pastors 2020 Summit, April 22nd through the 24th. Register at kap2020.com.
And now let's rejoin Tony for part 2 of today's message.
Let me give you the good news. If you will die, You will be more alive than you've ever been before. But if you insist on living, then you will exist and live a dying kind of life. God told Moses, Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses said, a staff. God said, give it up. Throw it down. Now, that staff wasn't just a stick. That represented Moses' livelihood because he was a shepherd. He says, give it up. Moses gave it up and it became a serpent. Pick it up again. He picks it up and becomes a staff. The only difference is, before it was the staff of Moses. After he picked it back up, it became the staff of God. Now that stick could open up Red Seas. Now that stick could turn water into blood. That same old ordinary looking shepherd's crook was now alive. Okay? Little boy had lunch one day. 2 fish, 5 barley loaves. Jesus sent Andrew over to get it. The boy gave it up. Now Moby Dick's on the beach. Okay? He feeds 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Guess what? If he would have held on to his lunch, he would have never borne the kind of fruit that he bore by giving it up to Jesus Christ. So my question is, what are you holding on to that God wants? Abraham, Genesis 22, give up your son. Yep, you mean my only son? Yeah, I'm talking about your only son. Sacrifice him to me. Whatever you say, God. Did he lose? No, he became the father of nation, like the sand of the sea. He didn't lose by giving up everything. So my question, first of all, if you're going to serve Christ, is what does he want that you're still holding on to? Jesus is saying, follow me. Give it up, because my resurrection will be worth the price of the crucifixion as I work out my plan in you. So the first thing is that we ought to serve Christ sacrificially, and God will honor him, the scripture says in John 12. He will honor the person who honors his son by trusting him enough to handle your life for you. Secondly, we must serve Christ authentically. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Authentic service. None of us serves Christ perfectly, but all of us can serve Christ authentically. All of us have bad days, but all of us can turn those days around so that we are authentic servants of Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 18, he says, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. He says in verse 19, I served you authentically. I was humble before you. You knew who I was. I did not hide. You saw me cry. You saw my tears. You saw me struggle. You saw my pain. I was not this perfect Superman. You saw me in weakness and in strength. Look also at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul talks about his authentic service for God and how he had served the Thessalonian church. He says in verse 5, for when we came, we did not come in flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though, as apostles of Christ, we might have arrested our authority or used it. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having a fond affection for you. We were well pleasing to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but we gave you our own lives as well. You could see us and see through us. You recall, brethren, our labor, hardship, working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. He says our ministry was authentic. It was real. We're not to just serve God because it's the job. We're to serve God because he deserves to be served, and we ought to serve him authentically. None of us serves him perfectly. But what we do give him ought to be real. It ought to be the real thing. It ought not just to be a facade, just going through the motions and fulfilling the job description. If you're in a ministry where you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, are you serving him authentically, or are you simply going through the motions? Thirdly, we ought to serve him enthusiastically. We saw it already when we read 100th Psalm. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. The New Testament repeats this in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 11. Serving the Lord enthusiastically. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. In other words, there ought to be some pep in your step when you serve the Lord. When you serve men, if they're paying you enough, you'll find steps that you don't have. You'll make them. You'll be doing hop, skip, and jumps if you have to. If the reward is great enough, if a big enough person calls your name and you are called to serve them, if they are rank high enough, you serve with energy and vim and vigor and vitality. He says, serve the Lord fervently with some fire. Now, what will keep you from serving him that way? Forgetting who he is. You're serving the Lord. It is when you serve men and men don't treat you right that your service goes down. But the Bible says you serve the Lord Christ. And your ultimate reward doesn't come from men, it comes from Christ. See, if you're serving men and men are not fair, you might not get your reward. But if you're serving Christ, it doesn't matter whether men are fair, because God is going to determine what the ultimate reward is and who gets it.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back in just a moment with a final insight from today's teaching. First, though, I want to remind you that the full-length version of this lesson is part of Tony's current CD series, Pursuing Christ, a step-by-step look at what it takes to develop a close and vibrant relationship with the Lord. Remember, all 7 messages in this collection are yours as our thank you gift when you make a donation to help keep this program coming your way. Along with it, you'll receive the new book I told you about earlier, Experiencing Israel. This special offer runs out on Monday, so reach out to our Resource Center right away at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by around the clock to help you. And again, the number 1-800-800-3222, or visit tonyevans.org. When you review a business online, one of the things you rate is the quality of their service. Well, join Dr. Evans tomorrow when he'll tell us about some important biblical benchmarks that measure how well we're serving the Lord. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up our time together today with this insight and challenge.
When you go to work tomorrow, if you will simply change your mind and decide to serve the Lord Christ rather than serve that boss who you can't stand, who probably can't stand you, if you serve the Lord Christ in that, and say, I hate this job, don't want to do this job, but I'm going to enter my work tomorrow that the Lord has given me, since he hasn't given me anything else, this is what he's provided. I'm going to serve the Lord Christ. I'm going to make that widget, type that letter, relate to these clients, whatever the job is, as unto the Lord. Number one, it will change your outlook, which is half the battle. And number two, you give the Lord the chance to be your boss and to pay your wages. Okay? It is serving the Lord Christ fervently. Even at work, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all to the glory of the Lord. Serve him with energy, enthusiastically, simply because of who he is.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.